The official program of the summer school promises Zirat. It won't be Zirat, but it will be more, let's say, an appetizer. It will be a lecture, a contemplation on the elements. But if you appreciate the appetizer and you are not already a member of the Zirat, you can always ask me afterwards where the real meal is served, in which restaurant. And then we can see if you can come into the restaurant or in other countries, if we can open a restaurant. No, but seriously, if you feel, after what you have heard this afternoon, that perhaps the Zirat is something that might be of interest to you, then I would love to talk to you about it. But the lecture and the contemplation of this afternoon is broader than just the Zirat. It is also a more general contemplation on the elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Zirat, which is part of the activity of symbology. We have five activities in the international Sufi movement, of which the activity of symbology is one. And you could ask the question, why symbology? What does symbology have to add on our path of attainment? And I'm very happy that I do not have to answer that question, but that Murshid himself describes it so beautifully in the Kathas, in the first Katha on symbology, an ocean in a drop. And there Murshid says, that is not beauty which is not veiled. In the veiling and unveiling of beauty is the purpose of life. Beauty is that which is always out of reach. You see it and you don't see it. You touch it and cannot touch it. It is seen and yet veiled. It is known and yet unknown. And therefore, words are often inadequate to express the beauty of truth. Therefore, symbolism is adopted by the wise. We so often pray, thy light is in all forms, thy love in all beings. But I think, when we are honest, we do not always recognize that divine character of life. When we encounter a difficult fellow human being, there may be moments that we do not recognize that divine spark. And that is because even though that divine aspect is always there with every breath that we take, the divinity, that divine light, is veiled. And by the use of symbols, we can try step by step to unveil that light. The word Zirat has different meanings. One meaning in the Farsi language is bridge, the bridge between the worlds seen and unseen, the inner and the outer world. A bridge that can be crossed by using symbols. Another meaning of the word Zirat, and that is the meaning that Murshid gave to it, the word in Arabic, Zirat, means agriculture. And Murshid used the agricultural symbolism as a profound way of teaching. After all, nature is the holiest of all holy books, the holy book of nature. We can learn so much by carefully studying nature. And in the symbology of the Sirat, we look at the different stages of agricultural work. We all dream of a certain harvest, a harvest that we can store and later on distribute to those who are in need. But in order to have a good harvest, we first need to sow the seeds. And before sowing the seeds, we need to prepare the soil. We need to plow, we need to harrow. So in a way, to some extent, Sirat symbology is the cultivation of the heart, or the art of personality. When we look at the work of symbology in our Sufi tradition and we compare it with the other activities, I think there are three points that can be mentioned that are really distinctive for the activity of symbology. Not that these things are not done in the other activity, but they really got a lot of emphasis in symbolism in the Sirat. And the first is, and that is also the main topic of this session this afternoon, is the work with the elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the building blocks of the universe, the elements as fundamental living forces. A second aspect in the Sirat is the emphasis on the shadow aspects in life, the pain that we carry around with us, the negative impressions on our mind which accumulate over the years. The inner school really focuses on the ideal, and the ideal can serve as the parental arms which erases from the denseness of the earth. So to speak, in the fire of love for the ideal, for the divine ideal, we transform into a better version of ourselves. But the Sirat acknowledges that sometimes we also do need to do some work on ourselves before we can go into that fire of love in order to be transformed. And the third aspect of the Sirat, it is a bit of a trendy term, but why not? It is an activity of spiritual ecology. We live in a world where so much is broken. When we see how we as human beings treat Mother Earth, how nature is being exploited and degraded, when we see how groups of people are in conflict with one another, often in the name of God, there is so much in this world that is crying out to be healed. And for a long time, we as individuals, with all good intentions, try to fix things in the outer world in hope to make things better. But at a certain point, we can come to the realization that even how hard we try by fixing things in the outer world, that's not how it works. Because, and that is where the spiritual ecology comes in, what is broken in the outer world is nothing else than the reflection of what is broken in the inner world. And the brokenness in the outer world also has an impact on us in the inner world. So there is a constant interaction between the inner and the outer world. And that is also something that in symbology and the Sirat is taken on board and gets a very special attention. So we first need to start to do the real hard work before sowing the seeds in order to get that harvest that we so deeply desire, first we need to prepare the soil. We need to prepare the mind and the heart to do the real work on the inner path. And that is the plowing and the harrowing that we need to do. To some extent, it is